Welcome. This is Anastasia Yuglova bringing you the Cato Daily Podcast. Be sure to log on to our website, www.cato.org, for a full archive of our podcast as well as many other audio offerings. The countries of Central Europe are in political turmoil. The Czech Republic remains without a government, Poland is plagued by corruption, and Slovakia fares no better. Now Hungarian voters have discovered that they've been lied to for years by Prime Minister Ferenc Gyurcsány in order to win re-election. He's now promised Hungarians an austerity package to win back their support. Is it possible? Assistant Director of the Project on Global Economic Liberty, Marian Tupi, ventures a guess. Central European politics has gotten very messy these days, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. If you look where Central Europe was a year ago and where it is today, obviously there has been a great deal of difference. A year ago, Central Europe was held to be an example for other countries to follow. There was a very high economic growth, stable democracies, Central European countries, that is to say Slovakia, Czech Republic, Poland and Hungary, just joined NATO and the European Union. In fact, they were held to be examples for Western European countries to follow. There was a feeling that the economic success in Central Europe should be emulated by Western European social democratic states. Today, everything has changed. Let's take these countries in turn. In Poland, in October 2005, you basically had a victory for a coalition of conservative, populist and xenophobic parties, which formed a coalition which was, broadly speaking, socially conservative and economically illiberal. In Slovakia, a defeat for the liberal prime minister Mikuláš Zurinda, who was one of the most reformist prime ministers anywhere in the world, and the replacement of his conservative liberal government by essentially national socialists, one party which is socialist and the other nationalist. And this national socialist coalition has put an end to economic reforms and wishes to reverse some of them. Then in the Czech Republic, you had elections last June, and that's where, interestingly, the lower house of parliament was split right down the middle between the left and the center-right. So on the one hand, you've got the center-right coalition of Christian Democrats, Liberal Democrats, and the Greens, who in the Czech Republic are center-right. And then the other 100 out of 200 seats in parliament are occupied by the communists and by the social democrats. So neither bloc is able to form a government, and indeed 4 months after the elections we still don't have a stable government in the Czech Republic. And lastly, you have Hungary. Now in Hungary, the social democrats or socialists came ahead of the right-wing populists by 1%. The socialists got 43%, and then the right-wing populists of a man called Viktor Orbán got 42% of the vote. In the meantime, it turned out that the only reason why the socialists won the election is because they lied. They brazenly lied about the state of the economy. They convinced the public they should be trusted with the economy because it was performed much better than in reality. So now today we have a great deal of public discontent and we have street protests in Budapest, as many Hungarians feel that they were really cheated out of victory in the last elections.
Why didn't Central European nations rise to the occasion to govern responsibly after decades of communist rule?
Well, there are two theories on this. A lot of commentators believe that Central Europeans are essentially tired of economic reforms and liberalization of the past 15 to 17 years. I don't buy into that because there are opinion polls which suggest that free markets and free competition continue to enjoy public support. In fact, if you look at Slovakia, where the political shift was the greatest, which is to say from economic liberalism of the previous government to national socialism of the current government, the market reforms continued to enjoy public support right up to the elections. That is to say, 2 months before the elections, when public opinion survey on this particular subject was conducted, reforms such as flat tax and reduction of the welfare payments had the support of the majority of the public. So if the first explanation is incorrect, what is the explanation for the current troubles? I think that the people of Central Europe have essentially lost their faith in the political system. They believe their politicians are deeply, profoundly corrupt, that no matter which way they vote, the same old tired faces get to power and they go on stealing and feeding off the public trough. So what they've opted was for populist parties, which essentially promised to kick the corrupt old elites out of power. We'll see how this plays out, but I do think that much more than rejection of free market reforms, what happened in Central Europe was rejection of the old political elite.
What do you make of Hungary's Prime Minister Ferenc Gyurcsány winning a vote of confidence after such embarrassing revelations of deception and corruption?
Well, I think there was very little else that the Hungarian parliament could have done. Let's look at the Hungarian political situation. At the moment, there is a thin majority for Prime Minister Gyurcsány, consisting of a small liberal party, which polled about 6% of the vote, and his own socialists, who polled about 43% of the vote. Together, they form a government coalition. And on the opposition side, you have Viktor Orbán, who essentially leads a socially conservative and economically socialist political party called Fidesz. After the revelation that Prime Minister Gyurcsány lied so brazenly in the time before the elections, really all that the governing coalition could do is to get behind the Prime Minister and support him, because if there were to be new elections in Hungary, I have no doubt that the current governing parties would suffer a great defeat. So what the governing coalition has to do now is to really stick together, see how much of the reform program they've promised they can get through, and then hope and pray that the Hungarian economy will pick up and they are able to get a good result in 4 years' time.
Gyurcsány has now promised an austerity package to his country. Do you believe that he deserves a second chance, and should Hungarians believe him?
As a human being, he doesn't deserve a second chance, because he's clearly somebody who is a liar and who holds democracy in contempt. But he does deserve a second chance as a possible reformer, for a simple reason, that the opposition, despite being on the right of the political spectrum, has a much worse economic program. That is to say, Gyurcsány's understanding of what the Hungarian economy needs in order to return to economic growth and fiscal stability. Let's not forget that Hungary is running a 10% of GDP budget deficit. So what Gyurcsány understands that is necessary for Hungary to return to prosperity is much more realistic than what the opposition offers. The right-wing opposition of Viktor Orbán promises more state regulation. They promise renationalization of some of the privatized industries. They promise more freebies for the electorate, something that they will need to find money for, money that they don't have. So does he deserve a second chance? I think he's simply better of the two men to get Hungary out of the crisis.
If you enjoyed this program, consider subscribing to Cato Audio, a dynamic 60-minute monthly recording that brings you inside the Cato Institute for highlights from exceptional, one-of-a-kind lectures and events on key issues of the day presented by nationally known scholars, authors, and political leaders. Cato Audio is available on our website, as well as on iTunes and Audible.com.